That's right. Say it with me. God never fails. God is love. We have to have more love. And not the kind of love that you're thinking about. I'm talking about agape love. I'm talking about a believer loving a non-believer. I'm talking about a believer loving atheists. Amen? And an atheist loving a believer. That's the kind of love that's going to cure the nation and cure the world. Amen? When love surrounds us, when we love each other as brothers, then God can do His work. Amen? This whole day is about love, because God is love, and the Bible says love never fails. So when you read that again, you just says, see, Sister Jean, God never fails. Hallelujah. Put a little love in your heart, baby. Kind of a series that we're going to be doing called It's Hard to Follow God. It really is hard because we need to love each other. The Word says we need to love each other. That's hard to do. It's easy to love somebody who agrees with you. It's harder to love somebody who doesn't agree with you. Amen? And that's, God said no. And that's what the Word says. We need to love. That's love. When you love somebody who you disagree with, you're doing God's work. When you tell somebody you disagree with that you love them, you're doing the work of God. Then you're healing people. Amen? That's God's work.
Hallelujah. Can I get an amen from somebody this morning? Really? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're so blessed. You have so much to be thankful for. So much. We're so thankful for Walter and Jean, Fred and Nancy again. Answered prayers. Children, God is answering prayer. You should be excited. You should be so excited you can't stop talking to people. I'm nuts. I really am about God. Would you stand again? I'm going to ask my bride to sing this song. We're using the songs of the world today to show you that some people don't even know when they're singing and talking about the Lord. This is one of my all-time favorite worldly songs about God. I want you to envision Jesus standing on that altar right there with his arms spread out wide. And I want you to listen to these words and I want you to draw closer to his heart. For anybody and everybody who wants to accept him. He is not a respecter of persons. He says, welcome to my world. Knock. Anybody is for all of us with God. Hallelujah. Give God praise this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated, church, be seated. Welcome to God's house. Welcome today and receive the message. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I didn't make that up. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I didn't make that up. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I didn't make that up. Some people are out there saying all kinds of things. So I wonder, are they just saying, are they understanding? They say, Lord, forgive me as far as that. Because God said, I will forgive you as far as you forgive. Amen. Understand what that's one. God, Jesus put that in there for a reason. You see, everything else feels good. Our Father, kingdom come. Yeah, that's all great. Forgive us our trespasses. Wait a minute. Only as we forgive those. That's what it says. Forgive us our trespasses only as we forgive those who come against us. That's as far as he's going to forgive you. I want complete forgiveness. I want as much forgiveness from God as he can possibly give me. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want this word to be in my soul, in my spirit, in my heart, because I want more of God. But to forgive, that's it. That's called compassion. And if you don't have compassion, we're all going to be lost. Understand that. Nobody is going to win without compassion. Can I have an amen? Amen. We have two very special young men who are going to come up and speak. We have a very special man out there who I admire and I respect, who takes care of children, who's raised children to be men. Randy says, Randy, good to see you, sir. He's given his time and his heart to raise children up to be men. No greater a gift than to serve. Martin Luther King Jr. said, you can serve. Anybody can demand things, but a special person serves. We can all serve. And Randy has heard that call from so many years, and he's raised up thousands of men, and we have two young men. Come up, young gentlemen, and help us today with this beautiful celebration. The Boy Scouts, Troop 3! As you're coming up, I have to tell you something. I have defended you guys and spoken. We have friends of ours who are from Troop 7. They can't even. We have wars. I said, I don't care what you say. Troop 3 is the best. There's no question about it. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am Alex Robertson. I am the SBL from Troop 3, which is right downstairs, as everyone here most likely knows. Our troop has been working here with this church for years that I can't even keep track of, which is amazing, and thank you all for that. Being able to have our troop meetings right downstairs, it's been great. In times like now, even, we're trying to move back into down there, but we're on Zoom meetings online, and it's great to see that even in masses like this, we have a bunch of people here, and this community is able to come together and still be able to do this, and that's great for that. So, even in times like this, as I said, our troops coming back together to move downstairs, we've done a lot through the year, like at the beginning during September, we were out across the green playing sports and stuff, doing kickball, wiffle ball, stuff like that. And then we moved into November when it's getting colder and we started doing cooking competitions and everything right out on the side. Now we're during December and January, we're completely on Zoom. We're doing merit badges and stuff and everything like that. And for most things, like scouts like me, I'm currently a life scout, which is right next to Eagle. So I'm working on my Eagle project, which not able to. In times like this, it's not the easiest thing to get into contact with people, set up meetings and such like that, yet we have a lot of scouts going and doing that right now, and everyone's pushing through. It's a tough time right now, and everyone's still coming together and getting all these things done, so that's great. I wanted to thank you guys for letting me come here and speaking about this today. We also have some patches just for tonight, which are these right here. So, thank you guys so much. It's great to come down here.
Great to see you. You want to say anything?
No, I'm just here to.
You want to add about your Eagle project?
As usual, I would like to thank all of you for helping me provide food for the Seymour Oxford Food Bank. I love you. They love you. The people of Seymour and Oxford love you. Thank you.
We love you too.
Randy, would you like to say anything? Anything at all? We're just blessed to have you with us today. We love these patches. I believe everybody's going to get a patch this morning after church. No fighting.
Good to see you, sir. It really is. Wonderful.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. I wasn't planning on speaking, but I wanted to let our senior patrol leader, Alex Robertson, do it, and he did a great job at it.
He did.
Yes, that's right. So, as Alex said, we are doing as best we can in these times. As far as our scouting goes, we're trying not to let the COVID get in the way of things. So we have been doing some hikes, day hikes, and some. We did a camping weekend a few months ago. But as the spring comes, I'm sure we'll be out in the woods again, where we should be. And our scouts are definitely working hard towards their rank advancement. And we couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for all of you, because as Alex said, we have been here since 1914, so it's a long time to have a relationship, and we work really well together. We're very grateful for all of you, for everything that you do. In particular, Dave Wilkinson is a man that we're really appreciative of. Dave has to do extra training as our institutional representative, so he's going to be doing that training today with John Wardzala. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be able to have our sponsorship here. So we're really grateful to you guys. And again, we appreciate all you do, and we're always willing to help. All you have to do is ask, and we hope to see you soon. So thank you very much.
Praise God. See, there are good things happening in the world. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. Hey, you guys are really alive and good, so we're going to do the responsive reading now. Marilyn, this should be one of the best ones ever. In your bulletin. I know, Brian, it's hard to get them.
Thank you, Lord. God answered the prayer. Hey, did you know God answered the prayer? Yeah, you answered the prayer.
How can you go through life with God answering prayers and not be excited? Amen? How can you not be excited? I'm telling you, I don't know what else to do. I hope you're on my wife's Facebook. If you're not, please follow that, because we did too many sermons this week, and I was excited about both of them. Not because I'm not looking for anything. I'm looking for healing people. I'm looking for the truth to be revealed. I'm looking for people to love one another and to rise up against all this nonsense that we're hearing in the world. Amen? Where God sees us all equal. We all need to see that. The Bible says we all fall short daily. How many of us? All. So if we all fall short, we all need need to be included in the good and the bad. And I hope that you get on her Facebook and see these, because these are from my heart, from God's word. God didn't talk to me. I didn't hear from God. He didn't tell me to say it. But when I read his word, I'm inspired to share it. That's the difference. And I really believe God can heal the land. I believe that with all my heart. The only thing that's going to heal us all is God. God's got the way. God's got an avenue for all of us to succeed. Who doesn't want that? I'm so excited. All right, sorry. Blessed is the man, blessed, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Hallelujah. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. That's a great scripture right there. The Lord, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the young. Blessed. I don't know about you if you understand what the word blessed means, to be in high favor with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's do the quiz first. Brother Randy, we started something new at Second Congregational. We have a quiz every Sunday. I have multiple choice. The right answer is not important. It's where we quiz on the little things on the Bible, where we share the Bible, and we ask you to kind of come along with us. Gene, it's so good. Walter, so good to see you. Just like Fred and Nancy, it was just, our hearts are so happy. Our family's coming back home. Norm and Jenny said they'll be here just as soon as they get their vaccination. They miss you all. All right. According to the Psalms, God has crowned man with what? He has crowned man with what? Did he crown him with mercy and grace? Did he crown him with love and hope? Or did he crown him with glory and honor? How many think, according to the Psalms, God has crowned man with mercy and grace? Anybody, eh? How many say love and hope? Hope. How many say glory and honor? Guys are good. God has crowned man with glory and honor. Way to go. Good job. In the book of Romans, to what group of people did the Apostle Paul say he was a debtor? He owed his to. Was it Greeks and barbarians? Was it Jews and Gentiles? Or was it believers and non-believers? In the book of Romans, to what group of people did the Apostle Paul say he was a debtor to? How many think Greeks and barbarians? How many think Jews and Gentiles? And believers and non-believers? Who would you do? Romans 1:14. Apostle Paul said he was a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. Yeah, now you read that and you'll understand that. You really do. According to Romans, what does God's goodness lead us to, all of us? Does it lead us to righteousness, or B, repentance, or C, love and joy? According to Romans, what does God's goodness lead us to? When God is inside of you, the goodness, does it lead you to righteousness? Or how many think righteousness? How many want to say repentance, B? And C, love and joy. How many want to say that? According to Romans, what does God's goodness lead us to? Repentance. Because with repentance, you have a clean spirit, and all things are added therein. When you confess to God and you have that goodness in your heart and you repent, that's where God can use you and lift you up. Good one. What does Isaiah tell us we should sing unto the Lord? Should we sing psalms unto the Lord? How many are hymns unto the Lord, or a new song? What does Isaiah tell us we should sing unto the Lord? How many think psalms we should sing? Psalms. How many think hymns to the Lord we should sing? How many say a new song? You guys are good. What does Isaiah tell us we should sing? A new song. Have it in your heart. Learn something new every day. And I got an extra one today. I like this one. Isaiah tells us to make straight what? In the desert, to prepare the way for the Lord. Isaiah tells us to make straight what? In the desert, to prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the highway, make straight the street, or make straight our path. So Isaiah tells us to make straight what in the desert? How many say highway? Make straight the highway in the desert. How many say street in the desert? How many say our path in the desert? God, knew it was a good one. Isaiah tells us to make straight the highway into the... That was good. I love when that happens. Hey, don't get mad at me. Anybody want to look it up? It's Isaiah 43.
There goes Yvonne. There goes Jim with the phone. And Yvonne.
I love when that happens. Call me crazy, but I love when people laugh in church. I love the joy. Go to church and have a good time. Imagine that. I'm having a good time in church.
Our many sermons are kind of titled, "It's Hard to Follow God." That's what we're talking about. So Lord, hear our prayer this morning. We are one nation under. We sing, God bless who? We in God we what? Psalm 33:12 says, a nation is blessed whose God is the Lord. Blessed. Then we honor God. Amen. We don't want to mock. How many want to mock God?
If we sing, God bless America, and we are truly one nation under God, then this is truly a great nation. I don't want, my heart just can't take somebody saying we are not a great nation, because we've asked God to bless it. Is it perfect? No. Are there imperfect people on it? Of course there is. But it's the nation, the light, the whole. We are blessed because we've asked God to bless us. We are blessed because we found people who knew God and built it on these, the Ten Commandments and the morals, the morality of God. I'm not saying that everybody's good and everybody's perfect, but I'm just telling you that anything that we've asked God to bless, let no man say is cursed. If we've asked God to heal the United States or bless the United States or one nation under God, then we are under His blessing. And here's the truth about His blessing. It falls on everybody. You can think of the worst person in your mind. I hope you don't have anybody like that. I hope you don't hate like that. But you can think of any place and anybody that you know in this country, and the blessings fall on them too. That's God. That's the God that you're worshiping. That's the God that we honor when we sing God Bless America. It falls on everybody. We don't care how many people get blessed, because we want everybody to get blessed. We don't look at numbers. We don't look at anything except being blessed by God. So anybody that says this nation wasn't never great doesn't understand my God. You see, that's where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from politics. I'm coming from, we ask God to bless this country. Of course it's great. Why does everybody want to be here? And it's not even that. It's just all the things that we've learned, all the things we've gone through to become even greater. Less than 100 years into this country, less than 100 years, men said stuff had to stop. Slavery had to stop. We didn't invent it. We didn't invent it. It was something that came from the other worlds. But men in this country said, that's enough. This country stood up and said, that's enough. 400,000 people gave their life so other people could be free. People they didn't know, people they would never meet. That's the greatness of a country that follows God. You look at the world wars we had, and how many of our soldiers, men and women, died to free people we'd never meet again. We'd never meet. They'd be speaking German in England if it wasn't for the things of this country. That's why it makes this country great, because we keep striving to do better. And if we don't have God, we'll stop striving. I believe that if people get their focus off of God and put it on themselves, we're going to fall. God will save us, but I'm telling you, we can stop the fall. We can save those, because we are one nation under God. Understand that when somebody talks about this country, they're talking about God. And I can't stand for that. I love God. Walter and Jean are here today. My prayer was answered. Fred and Nancy last week, my prayers are answered. Norm and Jenny will be here in a week or two. My prayers are answered. You're here today. Yvonne's here today. She wasn't here. How many know she wasn't here last week? My prayers are answered. I believe God. I believe God. I don't believe in God. I believe God. And I say, Lord, God bless America. And it means, I believe when I say amazing grace, I'm telling you how bad I am as a person. And thank God for His grace that He saved me. I don't have time to judge anybody else looking in. I don't have that time. I don't have that luxury, because I want to walk with God. Amazing grace means I forgive everybody. I love as much as I can love. This country is blessed with prosperity beyond belief, with riches and prosperity, people making tens of millions of dollars to play a sport. I know I say that a lot, but understand it. There's nowhere else in the world you can do that. They play a sport and they make tens of millions of dollars here. They act in a movie, tens of millions of dollars. They're on TV as a TV host. We looked up something the other day, one of the hosts of one of everybody's favorite shows. It's on the show. I don't have to tell you what it is. I just tell you, she's making $25 million to sit behind a desk and say who's good and who's not. In America, singing, playing a guitar, people have made millions and millions of dollars in America. In America, where all things are possible. Amen? That's what makes America great. But we need to stand together. We need to honor God and honor those people who talk about God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I didn't make that up. Some other man who loved God made that up, said that. You know who he was? Martin Luther King Jr. Let's honor him by what he said. In the glorious fight for civil rights, we must guard against being fooled by false slogans as right to work. It provides no rights and no work. Who said that? Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend. How many know that today in the United States there's over 700 streets named after that man? 700. If any earthly institution or custom conflicts with God's will, it's your Christian duty to oppose it. You must never allow the transitory evanescence demands of man-made institutions to take precedent over the eternal demands of the Almighty God. Transitory means not permanent, and evanescent means soon passing out of sight, memory, or existence. So this man is saying we should always stand with God. We should never stand with something that speaks against God. Amen? Next week we'll talk about the Beatitudes. We have a Bible study Tuesday night. We'll talk about the Beatitudes. Because when you listen to the Sermon on the Mount, it sounds exactly like what that man was saying. Either we honor God, or we honor Martin Luther King, or we mock them. Amen? I think that we should honor them by doing what they say and leading us to this word, to stand on this word. We are a great nation because God is over us. We are one nation under God. I believe it. It's that simple. Let's give God praise and hear our prayer, Lord, that we receive this message. We receive it with more knowledge and wisdom than we had before, more understanding to how great this nation truly is. There's people making tens of millions of dollars playing a sport. Understand, nowhere else in the world. Pick up the world, spin it around. Nobody does what happens in the United States of America. One nation under God. That's why we should stand and say, thank you, Lord, for where we are. And then work out the other details. If there's other things to work out, let's talk about it. Let's learn from each other. Let's grow together. But let's always keep God right there at the pinnacle first. Hear our prayer, Lord, that they would see. We hear more people somewhere talking about God, not for profit, not for gain. I have no gain. I have God's word. I'm standing on. I believe God can heal everything. That's my prayer today. I believe God can hear and hears and answers our prayers. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Give him praise, church. I want to hear praise in this house. If you don't praise him for prayers answered, I don't know what else is going to make you pray for him. Walter and Jean are in the house today. All right. I'm ready to go. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Pick off your shoes. Relax. Sit back. The battle between Paul and James. Saved by faith. I'm saved by faith. James says faith without works is dead. Is James wrong? Is Paul wrong? Are they in fighting with each other? Are they arguing with each other? Faith without works is dead. And then Paul's saying, no, we're saved by faith. Let me read some Paul. Romans, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that. But that no man is justified by the law, in the sight of God it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Shall live by what? But faith without works is dead. That's what James is saying. How can that be? Peter and James. James and Paul. How can that be? Let's get started. Let's look at it. Let's investigate. Because this is so different what they're saying. You would think that they'd be at each other's throat saying, how can you say that? So I ask you this. Can faith alone save somebody? Does saying it make it so? Amen. Does saying it make it so? There is no sinner's prayer in Scripture. None. Saying something is not faith. Let me say that again. Saying something is not faith. It's a wonderful beginning. How many people have said, Jesus, come into my heart? Amen. It's a beautiful statement. It is not yet faith. It's always been between you and God. Always. He alone knows your heart. Have people been saved by saying that? Of course they have. I can't say they haven't. If any man tells you they haven't, they're talking for God. I don't have that kind of pay. So if anybody been saved by saying, Lord, come into my heart, of course. Why? Because God knows their heart. The more you know Jesus, the more you want him. The more you know Jesus, the more you want him around you. The more you want to follow him, the more you want to build up your faith. Amen. So I ask you this question. Maybe you've never heard this question. How many believe that Paul is right, by the way? We're saved by faith. Y'all got that? So what is faith? Paul says if you believe in God, right? That's faith. So I ask you this question. You may have never heard. Is Satan saved? Is Satan saved? He knows God. He believes God. He believes it right there. So why isn't he saved? He's not. What did... If faith is simply believing that God is there and then you're saved, then Satan must be saved because he believes there's a God. Ephesians tells us this. Here's more of Paul. By grace you have been saved through faith. Yep. Not by works. A gift from God so that no one can boast. How many believe that's true, right? Is that, you know, but faith without works is dead. So wait a minute. So by grace I've been saved through faith, not by works. A gift from God so that no one can boast. Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then we can hear faith. It is the word of God. Yet we must do something. We must still do something when we hear the word of God. What would we have to do? We have to believe. When you hear the word of God, faith comes by hearing. So faith, you can hear faith coming and you can read it, but it comes in and you have to do one thing. What is it, church? You have to believe. Faith is a gift from God to those who will believe. Then we also believe in what? What are we believing in? The word of God. His spirit entering your heart, body, and soul. Ephesians 1:13. Here's more of Paul. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Having done what? Believed. Sure, you heard it. You heard it. You heard that word of truth, and you say you're going to trust after it, but you only trust after it after you do what, church? That you believe. So you have to do something. You have to believe. Because there's no sinner's prayer in the Bible. There's nothing to say, oh, take come into my heart, Jesus. So you have to do something. You have to believe in the word of God. You can hear it because that's where faith comes from. After you've trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, past tense, you had to do something. One more time, what did you have to do? Believe. Then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then you had God's Spirit inside of you. Hallelujah, what a gift.
Ephesians 1:13. Still, got to get this. To believe is to accept as true, not wavering. How many remember what James said about faith and wavering? If you believe, it's like the seas. If you waver, you're not sure. It's like the waves of the sea. You just get tossed everywhere. So to believe is to accept as true, not wavering. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Faith hears, sees, speaks, endures. Everything about faith is forward-leaning. Everything. Faith can be seen. People can see your faith. Faith can be seen. Jesus said this in Mark. Are you ready? Jesus said, have faith in God. Faith produces God inside of you. Through faith, we are given the Holy Spirit. But James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Saved by faith, not by works. What's he talking about? How can these two get along? James says, faith without works is dead. I just read to you, we've been justified by faith. So how can faith without works be dead? Thank you, Lord. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to Jesus, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught us in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. What happened? They said, we ate and drank in your presence. Is that faith? They ate and drank in his presence. Did they have faith? No. He said that we taught, we listened as you taught in our streets. Is that faith, that they listened because he taught? No. He knew the one thing they didn't have. They didn't believe him. They didn't have him here. They didn't accept him here. They did all these things. In fact, they talk about all the wonderful things that they did, thinking that it was really wonderful that they did them. But they did them without God in their heart. He said, depart from me. So, well, we ate with you. That's exactly right. They did. And they listened to him speak, which they did. Had nothing to do with faith and nothing to do with believing. Back to Matthew. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. By their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear a bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. You want another word for fruits, anybody? Another word for fruits? Works. So read that with works. You will know them by their works. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their works. Talks about the trees. And he said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good works is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their works, you will know them. Getting a little closer to James now? Anybody starting to see that? Therefore,
Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, and does what? Anybody hears these sayings of mine and does them? Anybody who hears, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew it, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Any of you who are afraid of anything that you see and hear, you have to understand you're standing on a rock. You have to understand that, accept that. You're standing on a rock. You can't fall off that rock. God's got you. You're standing on the rock. Anybody who hears these sayings of mine and does them, hello, this is Jesus talking now. Everybody who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Those who hear the words of mine and does them. Sounds like works. Those who hear the word of mine, those who have faith and the fruit of your faith, and does them. Paul tells us this: but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall do what? Live by what? They shall live by faith. And this was the law. This wasn't talking about the law. That nobody could live for these ten. And we should strive every minute of every day to find these and live by these. Because in everything in these ten, everything the world would change. The world would continue to change for the good. If people would just see that, not covet, not do all these things. But, you know, we've thrown this aside so many times that I'm not sure you can even read it anymore. But it's the truth. We could not be justified by the law. But he said, but the scripture has confined all under sin, that by the promise of faith in Jesus Christ must be given to those who believe. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Thank you, Lord. Paul is saying this. Listen to this. Paul says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but to carnal as babes in Christ. This is Paul. This is the one that says we're saved by faith. All right? Amen? This is what he's saying. I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but to carnal as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able to receive the solid food. And he says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Laid the what? He laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Paul said he built what? A foundation. He said the people weren't ready to hear the meat. And he said, even now we're still drinking milk. Thank you, Lord. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are all his workmanship, created in Christ for the good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should do what? We should walk in them. We call ourselves Christian, we call ourselves believers, then we should walk in that faith, and that faith should be seen. Amen? If you say you're a Christian, then people should see your faith and hear your faith by your words and receive your compassion and receive the fruits of your words. Amen? That's what he is saying. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. I didn't do anything except believe. I didn't do anything special to receive it except believe. Believe and have faith. Not of works, lest anybody should boast. For you are all his workmanship, created in Christ for the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We cannot do enough to be saved. We can't.
Here it is. Why James and Paul aren't fighting? I love this study. I've had more fun with this study. You may have still have questions, but I want to read the end to you. James was not talking about something you did to try to be saved. He was saying once you claim to be saved, he is saying once you claim to be saved, it should be in the evidence of your fruit. Once James is talking to people, say, you claim to be saved. Okay, you're saved. Okay, let me see your works. Let me see your fruit. He's talking to those who claim to believe, yet there is no compassion. Follow this. This is so powerful. He's saying, you people say you believe. You call yourself a believer. Let me see it. Oh, they said, no, faith without works. That's not right. Well, listen. He said, let me see your compassion. Let me see your forgiveness. Let me see your mercy for other people. Let me see your spirit inside. Remember, those who are saved have the indwelling of God. Your Holy Spirit is inside of you. God's Spirit, he's saying, let me see it. You claim to be saved. God is love. Love never fails. Love is poured out in your fruits. He didn't say anything different than Paul. Paul said, I told you this because it's a beginning. You need to be saved by faith. You need to believe. You need to do something. You know, it's not that easy to just say, okay. So in other words, Satan would be saved today if you follow that easy thing. Well, we're saved by faith. I believe in God. I'm saved. Then why isn't Satan saved? He believes God. But I'm telling you that the truth is Paul and James are saying the exact same thing. Paul is saying to new baby Christians, little baby Christians, saying, you're saved. God loves you and you're going to be saved by faith. But that faith you have to learn, that faith you have to walk on, that faith is a fruit, and all these fruits are going to come out. See, you're going to be known by your fruit. You don't have to tell somebody you're a Christian. You should never have to tell anybody you're a Christian. They should see it in you immediately. Oh, that guy likes God. I don't care how foolish they think I am talking like this. I believe it. James is talking to those who claim to be believers, yet there was no compassion. Anybody see anybody with no compassion in the world? Anybody? Let me tell you, again, my opinion. Thank you, Greg. I love you for that. We lost somebody my wife and I really enjoyed, I'll tell you the truth. We listened to him all the time. Anybody know that Rush Limbaugh passed away this week? I don't care if you liked him or didn't like him. I'm not trying to get to that. Here's the thing, and I tried to write it on a couple of posts. The lack of compassion was amazing. Absolutely amazing. People are being thrown off of these Facebook places, and people are being, and what do you call that when they cut you off and you can't write anymore, censoring you. And I read stuff on there, and I'm thinking, how'd this get through? This person's glad he's dead. It's the best day of my life. God bless. Oh, God answered my prayers. How did this get through? He's happy somebody died. Okay, you hate the guy. I ask you then, you better look in the mirror if you hate anybody. My brother Brian said he's never hated anybody, and I believe it. But we're all capable of that kind of craziness. And I read after people saying what an evil person, and he deserved to die, and his family deserved, everybody, it was unbelievable. So I just simply wrote, I pray for you. I pray for your family. For you to hate somebody you've never met in your life, never talked to, you have nothing to do about him, you just disagree with what he said and you hate him with that kind of vile, I'm worried about the person. I prayed for the person. I know it doesn't matter to me how you feel about things. It doesn't matter if you're a Red Sox fan. I love you. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. I love you. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. said he was supposed to do. We're all supposed to be brothers. We're all brothers together. He wanted equality. He wanted to be equal. He didn't want any special treatment. In fact, he abhorred it. God found it the same way, abomination for special treatment. He said, I just want to be counted as equal. And I read these posts and I felt in my heart, I get it, you don't like them. Just my opinion again, but probably 80% of those people never listened to them. That doesn't matter. There's people on TV I don't watch because I don't care to watch, but I don't want them dead. There's people on the radio I don't listen to because I don't... Music on the radio, anybody like country music? People don't like country music, right? I don't mad at them. The
There's music I just don't listen to because I don't prefer to, but I don't want anybody like that dead. I don't wish anybody to be poor. I don't wish anybody to lose anything. I'm praying that they find God and find everything. Because when you find God, you find all that you need if you have that kind of faith. To believe, accept as true, not wavering. James was writing to those who had accepted the doctrine of justification by faith. There's your difference. He was talking to people who had accepted what Paul had taught them. You've accepted it, but I don't see any compassion. You've accepted it, but I don't hear any mercy. You've accepted it, but I don't see any forgiveness. I don't see anything from God. The Holy Spirit's inside of you, yet I don't see any of that coming out anywhere. Loving each other, raising each other up, not taking from each other. That's what he was saying. He said, yeah, you believe the justification by faith, but you were not living right. Telling them that such faith was not faith at all. That's the same thing that Paul has taught us. He's talking to a different group of people who claim to believe God. And here again, one more time, the fruits of the Spirit, the works of the Spirit. If you're a believer and you claim to be a believer, these are things that should be evident. Love, joy, peace, forbearing each other, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, these two, ready? Gentleness, and self-control. Paul is saying you're saved by faith. And James is saying you claim that you're saved by faith, but I don't see anything. So your faith is dead. Faith without works is dead because you claimed it, that you had it, but you didn't show it. You sang Amazing Grace. Beautiful job. Right, Brother John? You sang Amazing Grace and then you went out and hated somebody. You said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then you went out and hated somebody. You condemned somebody. Judge not lest you be judged. That's the word of God. You heard it in church and you went out and started judging other people that you don't even know. You had zero compassion on people in need. Zero compassion on somebody who needed to be lifted up. You didn't care. And Paul is saying, that's not faith. Your faith is empty. So the works, your fruit, your known, that's how people know your faith. And I'll say it one more time. You should never have to tell anybody that you're a Christian. Amen. Give God praise and glory. I hope that helps everybody. I don't know how many times I've said this, and it was one of the sermons. 50 years ago, we watched All in the Family. And we realized what bigotry looked like, and we didn't want any part of it. And then we watched Sanford and Son. We understand that all people could be bigots. That nobody was excluded because we all fall short daily. So 50 years ago, we were watching Fred Sanford doing his thing. And then we watched George Jefferson. Isn't that interesting? I love the show. How many remember the Jeffersons? I know the kids know. What was in the song? They're moving on up. Where? From where? From where were they moving on up, getting away from? See? They were bragging about it. And they had a maid. And she was a woman of color. No way, right? And if you know the show, remember like I know the show, what was the wife's name? Was it? What was his and her wife's name? Louise? Weezy. Louise, right? She used to yell at him all the time for the way he talked to the maid. And the way he talked to the neighbors. 50 years ago, we understood that bigotry and racism was evil and ugly. We laughed at it because we mocked it. We exposed it because we saw it all. And I'm sure all of us cringe once in a while from a joke that we told or something we said. Or said, God, I hope that wasn't me. I hope I've never done that. And we see Archie Bunker saying the most ridiculous things, foolish things, and everybody's laughing because he was a fool. And 50 years ago, we all stood up and said, that's wrong. We all don't want to be that way. Then what happened? Suddenly, we've excluded a group of people. The Bible says we all fall short, so we can't exclude anybody from anything that's going to heal us. All of a sudden, people are offended. What are you offended for? We understand it's evil. Let's stand together and work together. Thank you, Lord. Sorry about that. I just want to remind you where we were 50 years ago. It wasn't that it was funny, because it was funny. Carol O'Connor was not a bigot. He was not a racist. He was a wonderful man. He lived a wonderful life. He was an actor. Red Fox and George Jefferson. I'm sorry I don't remember his name. They're wonderful people. They played a role on TV and got very wealthy for doing it. But we all let, in America too, can you believe it? In America, they got wealthy on TV. And we all understood, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be my uncle, my brother, my cousin. I don't want any of that. And people seem to think that Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., was talking to one race of people. That's the mistake that everybody... He didn't talk to one race of people. You know who he talked to? Everybody. Because he loved that book. He loved God. He was talking to everybody. Stand up and be quoted. Stand up and earn your way. That's all he wanted, was an equal chance. Amen. I can't imagine in 1965 he still had to do that, but he did. And he was right to do that. But he stood with the Word of God. And if you don't stand with the Word of God, then you're not honoring his memory. And we're not honoring Jesus if we don't stand with the Bible. That's why I said before, we are a great nation because God has blessed us. Let nobody tell me anything that God blessed is bad. So, we have it all because of Jesus. It just, praise the Lord. We have it all. We have Jesus. We have what Jesus did for us on that cross. We have the love of the Lord. We have the Son who loves us all, gave his life for all of us, so we can be here today reading the Word of God and building our faith. He simply says in the Word of God to do this in remembrance of him. Have this little cracker. It's just a remembrance of God. When he took the bread, blessed and broke it, say, this is my body being torn for you. And he says, eat and do this in remembrance of me. What he said in Jesus' name. I make my confession to God this morning. Lord, forgive me for my iniquities. Forgive me for anything that would have separated me from you for even a tenth of a second. Forgive me, Lord, for any thoughts, any doubts, any worries that I had that I didn't need to carry. Forgive me for things in my brain, Lord, like Paul said, the will to do, not to what I do, I will not to do, do and what I do, will to do. All that beautiful stuff, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me. Bringing me into your house, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God that heals me, Lord. But thank you for Jesus, who stands in the gap for me. For me, Lord. Forgive me for my iniquities. Forgive this church and anybody in this church, Lord. Forgive them. They call on you for that forgiveness, Lord. Heal us so that we can receive this, Lord. The sacrament of your blood, Lord, for the remission of our sins, in Jesus' name. I waited 3 weeks to give that sermon. I don't want anything special from people. I don't want any special title. I just want God's Word to be out there. I want to feed you His Word and give you the power of His Word inside of you. I want to lift you up so that you can face things that come against you. I want to lift you up so you don't worry about things in the world.
I want God's word to be number one. I want God's word to be right there as a light to walk to and walk under. I want the young to know God. I want everybody to know God. I'm so thankful that we have two young men here today. I thank God, and I pray that they receive something. In this church, I want everybody to receive. Any Sunday that you come, I want it to touch your heart and your spirit, no matter what we're talking about. It should do that. Always, when you're talking about God, it should affect you. I waited 3 weeks. I had more fun with this sermon because I kept getting deeper and deeper. I got pages and papers at home. Ask my wife, all over my desk, things I crossed out because I didn't need. And I thank God. And I thank God for the joy I had digging deeper and deeper, making me hungry for more, waking me up in the morning, talking to me at 6 in the morning, wanting me to get up and write something down because he's talking to me. He will do that with you. He wants to do that with you. He loves you. He'll give you that peace that surpasses understanding. Just let your faith soar. Let your belief in God soar. Know that he has blessed the United States of America. And if God has blessed it, search for every blessing. Search for every bit of prosperity because God said it's there waiting for you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give him praise, church. Just give God praise.